Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. It is good to be with you here at Renewing the Center. My name is Chris, and we are continuing this fun series on the questions that God asks. I promise at some point soon we'll get back into the lectionary. I'm just having too much fun. So we're going to continue to hold some of these questions. And today we're going to be in the gospel, and we're going to hear a question that God asks. Jesus asks this question. He says, "What good is it to gain the whole world and yet forfeit your soul?" And then he asks another question immediately after, "Or what can a man or a person give in exchange for their soul?" I'm going to read from Mark 8, and then we're going to pray, and then we're just going to spend a little bit of time together in God's word considering this question. "He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men.' Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and he said, 'If any would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Father, I ask you for grace to hear this question from Jesus. This is a question that I think is maybe particularly uncomfortable, and maybe we're afraid, Lord, to hear this question. God, I acknowledge that certainly there have been people in the spiritual traditions of the church who have used a question like this as a way to coerce people into a kind of unsustainable or un-Jesus-like kind of suffering. And so, Lord, we ask you to help us to hear what's really happening here. We pray that we would, in a very real way, hear that in this question you are asking us to exchange our agenda for yours. And so, Lord, as best as we're able today, we hold our agenda, our hope for the good life in front of you, and we ask, God, that you would give us grace, grace to listen and grace to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This question, or those two questions, actually, they come on the heels of a pretty awkward and intense conversation that Jesus has with his friends. Recently at Trinity, the church where I serve as pastor, we held this text in the service. We looked at it in depth. So I'm not going to go into an entire sermon here. What I do want you to hear is that the disciples had begun to wonder whether things were going to go pretty well for them. They saw Jesus's power and popularity, and they were thinking, man, maybe this is going to be great for him and great for us. And it's interesting that in the midst of that faulty assumption emerging around maybe we're going to grow through power, through success, Jesus begins to speak to them about the cross. He reminds his friends, nope, this is where I'm headed. And the strong implication here is that where I'm going, you're going to go as well. You're going to follow me. So Jesus is essentially saying, if I'm going to go to the cross, you're going to go to the cross. And that's where Peter pulls Jesus aside and begins to rebuke him. And I just want to say this. Try to, again, like we've said on the podcast at various junctures, try to find yourself in the person who messes up the most in the story, the person who's in most need of Jesus's help. And in this story, it's Peter. Rather than distance yourself from Peter, try to be with Peter. Be like him, because you are, we are. And all Peter is doing right now is he's saying, I don't want it to be that way. He's saying, Jesus, your version of where this is headed is not what I thought, and I don't like it. Who does, right? Who likes the thought of following Jesus down a dark road? And so Peter is just reacting in a very human way here. He's doing really what we do when life throws a curveball at us, where following Jesus puts you maybe out of step at work or in a relationship or in your family, where doing the right thing, not cutting a corner, not just sort of going with the flow is hard. And what Peter is sensing here is just that his plan is not likely going to happen. So he tries to change the plan. He pulls Jesus aside. And I find it interesting that after this intense encounter between Jesus and Peter, where Jesus really, when he rebukes, get behind me, Satan, you know, he's rebuking Peter in the sense that he's saying, Peter, you're in front of me. I need you to get behind me. But he's also rebuking the devil of hell. He's not making a direct analogy that Peter is Satan. That's not what's happening here. He's telling Peter to follow for sure. Get behind me. But he's also saying to the enemy, you're not going to lead this story either. This is not going to go down a road where we're just going to find the path of least resistance. And it's after that, after the disciples are experiencing this disorientation because Jesus is telling them about the cross, that Jesus asks these two really critical questions. He says, what good is it to gain the whole world and yet forfeit your soul? What can a person give in exchange for their soul? And I believe that question's really important. What Jesus is saying to Peter, and I think what he's saying to us, is that God is deeply concerned with the state of our soul. Your soul is the general operating system of your life. It's the sum total of your mind, will, and emotions. And so what Jesus is saying here to Peter and Peter, his friends, is the same thing that he's saying to us. He's saying, God cares about your trajectory. He cares about and is inviting you and me to follow him, not to lead, not to have a calcified understanding of what the good life looks like around wealth and power and success and privilege, but to learn obedience, to learn how to follow. The way that we keep our souls intact is to learn how to come out of the driver's seat and to follow God, to put ourselves in a posture of receptivity versus running out in front. And the way to hold on to your soul, to not forfeit your soul, is to learn obedience and submission, to entrust outcomes, and to entrust the trajectory of our life to God. So essentially, the way we hear Jesus here is to give our lives to the Lord. Not to just give your life away for any old thing. I think this is where some violence has been leveraged using these words, where becoming a kind of martyr, serving a cause, or people serving the church mindlessly and injuring their families and their health in the name of God. That's not what Jesus is asking his friends to do. What he's asking them to do is to exchange their vision of the good life and who's in control of making that happen for another vision. He's saying, would you just get out of the driver's seat and let me drive? It's not about suffering for the sake of suffering. Surrendering your life here is not just about making your life as hard or miserable as you possibly can. Jesus is just simply saying, I want you to learn obedience and submission. I want you to let me drive. And our souls matter a great deal to God. And who's driving your life matters a great deal to God. He wants to lead, y'all. And I find that most of the time when I get into trouble, it's when I try to lead. It's when I try to drive, when I try to decide, this is what the good life looks like. This is what I need. This is where my story should be headed, or the story of my family. And Jesus doesn't call you to a miserable life. What he calls you to is submission and obedience. He calls us to follow. And there are practices and postures that we can adopt that will reinforce our own understanding, that will remind our souls that we're not in charge. Every day I ask for God's leadership. Every day when I'm sitting with my Bible or my Bible on my phone, on the couch, reading and praying, and at the beginning of my day, I ask God to give me a heart to follow him. Because otherwise, if left to my own devices, I'm going to want to lead. And that's probably true for many of you. And what Jesus is getting at here is that if we don't cultivate a disciplined intention, a pattern of following, a pattern of letting him lead and us submitting and obeying him, we will inevitably, like Peter, try to get in front of Jesus and tell him this is what needs to happen. And maybe right now you're sensing some futility. Maybe there's some pressure points and stress in your life because you've just been kicking against the pricks, as the Old Testament would say in the King James language, or you've been banging your head against a wall, to use a more modern metaphor. When we go against the grain of God's universe, we get splinters. And what Jesus is doing here is he's saying, I want you to go with the grain. I want you to go with me. Follow me. Peter and my and your orientation is behind Jesus, not in front of him. It's looking to him and letting him lead. My mind goes to one of the stories in the Chronicles of Narnia where the kids, the Pevensey children, are out in the woods and Aslan's nowhere to be found. And Lucy, one of the children, the youngest, she spots the lion and she wants to follow him, but nobody else is ready to follow. And so she's afraid. And later on, Aslan comes to her and he says, you saw me. I want you to follow me, regardless of what anybody else does. And I believe that one of the things the Lord wants for you and me is just a choice that we make over and over and over again to let him lead, to follow him. And a part of following him is learning to be truly present right where you are. A part of following Jesus is not living in fantasy. It's not checking out or escaping. It's not spiritual bypassing where you just rationalize everything and make it all great. It's learning to acknowledge even when things are dark and scary and hard and saying, but God, can you meet me in that very thing? And so for some of us today, the biggest next step in learning to follow Jesus is just looking around and saying, where am I? What's happening in my life? And Jesus, how do I cooperate with you and invite you into what's happening right now in life? So for Peter, when Jesus began to speak about the cross, Peter was like, I don't want that. That's not what I want in my life. And yet what was really happening there was Jesus was with him saying, I'm going to go down this road and you're going to go down this road and I'm going to be there when you get to the darkest place. And that was true, actually. Peter actually did end up surrendering himself to the cross. He died in a manner very similar to Jesus. But at this moment in his life, he wasn't sure that was the path he wanted. And I just want to say, wherever you are, when you're with God in his kingdom, that is a perfectly safe place to be. Dallas Willard said those words many years ago. Wherever I am, when I am with God in his kingdom, that is a perfectly safe place for me to be. God wants to meet you in reality. And so what I would invite you to do is to consider that even the parts of your reality that involve suffering, that involve pain, that God can and is present even in those places. Don't attempt and repent of your attempts to escape into your version, your vision of the good life. The good life is a life lived with God in obedience. The good life is a life lived in community following Jesus. And I'm learning in my own life to be present to reality, even when reality is hard. That's not true for me naturally. It's not easy for me to be present in scary places or dark places. And I think the last few years have been really one big ongoing invitation for me to be present in reality, to believe that Jesus is bigger than my circumstance. Here is the question, what good is it to forfeit and try to gain the world and forfeit your soul? Implied in that is, would you just let me lead? Jesus wants to lead. He wants control. He wants control of your life. He wants you to surrender and obey, trusting him that will lead you to somewhere really, really good. God bless you. We'll see you soon.